The most beautiful sight in the world is a little child going confidently down the road after you have shown him the way. Confucius said this. And when through one man a little more love and goodness comes into this world, then that man's life has had meaning. The unplanned journey that each of us undergoes begins early on, and how we are affected to being the life of a follower or a leader is somewhat of a mystery. The destiny begins, we are told, early on. That's why Mary Gordon has done what she's done, because it does begin very early. Some say, even in the womb, some say that, by music played or voices spoken. We are all handed along by whom and by what circumstances that direct us. We start out from the time we are born as a somebody. The life which comes to us all is no symbolic breath, but a tiny link of matter which builds the generations together without a break. In the beginning of our somebody, we struggle to become someone. We start out with a set of parents or a parent who assaults us with a value system, or maybe I should say asserts a value system to be. The guiding principles, not written, but shown and spoken. As children, we were young recruits, in a way being prepared initially for a something future. The grooming period, how to act, how to be, how to treat, how to look, then progress to school, how to learn, how to listen. As one after another ethical points of view are made clear, one teacher after another, so it's so important that we learn and benefit during this period of grooming, which prepares us for a lifetime of retrieval and what our life's chosen role may be, or roles may be. When Jacob Meyer was 15 years old, he applied for the job of janitor at the post office in his native town of Bratovsk in Russia. To his great delight, he was accepted at 15. But when they asked for his signature on a formal blank, he had to admit that he could neither read nor write. Couldn't even sign his name. Jacob didn't get the job. That defeat was an important milestone in his life. He made up his mind to show the authorities what a fine person they had missed because of their stupid rules. Never did anyone work so hard. Never was anyone more thrifty. In time, he saved enough money to come to America, and he opened a dry goods store. Before many years, he was the merchant prince of a great American city. But even then, he wasn't satisfied. In his dreams, he saw a chain of stores in many American cities. He discussed his plan with a banker who agreed to lend him $10 million. And now, said the banker, if you'll sign here. Jacob Meyer shook his head. I can neither read or write. The banker was dumbfounded. And you've achieved all this in spite of such a handicap? What would you have been if you had been able to read or write? I would have been said Jacob Meyer, gazing into space, janitor of the post office in my native town of Petovsk. This is a wonderful example of a human gift not wasted. A story is told that once Schopenhauer, the great philosopher of pessimism, was stopped by a policeman who had been watching the old gentleman's deep absorption as he paced back and forth on the street, oblivious of a cold, drizzling rain. "Who are you?" the policeman asked impatiently. Schopenhauer looked at him for some moments before he replied, "I wish I knew," with tremendous longing in his voice. "I do indeed wish that I knew." We know what we plan to do sometimes tomorrow, maybe perhaps next year. Maybe we have a plan for the rest of our life. But who are we? The more we live, the more we are haunted by this. We are more than we used to dream of being. It is each individual effort to explain experience and cause beyond the known laws of our physical universe. To create the whole and give a child an education for the future, there is no guarantee there will be wisdom. Our civilization is literally profligate with knowledge, but it is lamentably bankrupt in wisdom. One can work miracles with storytelling and teaching by example, encouraging the art of listening, being an advocate for the gifts of the older generation, reading poetry, discouraging too much television, teaching the appreciation of good music, and proclaiming excellence at every level, and exclaiming over jobs well done. But we do not seem to be able to give a wise and constructive direction to our educators. We turn our children loose without a clear goal to be sought. I want to read a little bit more in Roots of Empathy. Roots of Empathy is not an overnight cure for bullying. It's not a short-term intervention tactic aimed at those who do bully. Its approach is broad, deep, and preventative. It builds a culture that values inclusion, responds in caring and practical ways to the victims, and nurtures in all children a respect for and sense of responsibility to one another. Wisdom cannot be measured or weighed. It's a sense of rightness about one's person and one's actions, which gives one an indication of fitness that doesn't violate truth or common sense. And about our children, their choices to make may not be altogether chaste or perfect, and we can only display patience and forbearance in any case. In the last 8 months, Bob and I have lost three very dear friends, men. And some of you know one of them, I think, maybe two. And they were very important in our lives, Bob and mine. All three were testimonies to the assurances that life is more than just a mind and a body. They were all three achievers in all different fields and believers in happiness and devoted to their wives and their children. All three left great legacies and made good use of their gifts, and in doing so, made a difference in the lives of all who knew them and loved them. And the torch is passed. The continuum of life is enriched. There is a touch of wisdom and propheticness in us all. They say that wisdom comes as you age. Now I'm in a real jam. At 83, I should be a sage. And what a fool I am. And as we enter the later stages of life, first I want to share a moment, though, in one of our seven's early years. When Joel was about four, he was sitting in the kitchen on the floor playing while I was cooking, and out of the blue he said, "Everything is real." And I looked at him, and he was looking around the room, and he said it again, "Everything is real." And the look on his face was wide-eyed and bright. It wasn't magic so much, it was just bright. And as he looked around the room, he said it again. And it happened on three or four other occasions, not particularly in the kitchen, but other places. And then it stopped, of course. To this day, I have no idea what preempted this revelation, but it did happen. We remember special instances, all of us, that mattered in times past, and fantasize that when we were young, life was, and it wasn't that long ago. Prices were reasonable once. Politicians were noble once, and children respected their elders once. And now we shall tell those who listen, you too will get old. So get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to the past and the ones most likely to stick with you in the future. I wish I had known that lots of interesting people I've met had the same feelings that I had when youth was my companion, feeling guilty because I didn't know what I was going to be someday or do. Every man's life has special meaning and a special purpose, and we all have our own means of self-discovery. And as I reflect on all those whom I knew in childhood to early adulthood, to the in-between and the now, I know that the greatest teachers were my parents. Parents equip us with survival kits and an armory of self-esteem and confidence. But what we learn from our children, for they are all miracles, each is unlike anyone else. I learn much from many, but I think I learn more about life from my children. Common sense, judiciousness, and the ability to foretell are not just talents saved for the older generation, but in many ways are gifts of enrichment provided by the young, as I heard from Joel a few years ago. We need these young prophets in our church today. Often the prophetic word is hard for us to take and hear. And historically, we have not treated prophets well. Life indeed brings us all many titles. Let us be glad for our life, which is intertwined with so many. And remember that without love and laughter, there is no joy. And we are a soul moving toward fulfillment. Listen to what William Wordsworth said about the soul. Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises is our life star, hath had elsewhere its setting, and cometh from afar, not in entire forgetfulness and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come, from God, who is our home. And that concludes our talk for today.